Hey everyone, welcome to Pockets, the podcast where my dear friend Fabian and I explore the pockets of movies and life. I'm Jennifer Miller.
And I'm Fabian Ojeda. Hi everybody.
Hello there. Well, we were just commiserating. I don't know if you're all feeling the same way, but it just seems that life is pretty relentless lately for many of us. And yeah. Is Mercury in retrograde?
It absolutely is.
We had
a full moon. And we are about to have a lunar eclipse on Monday. And
yeah.
Every astrologer is telling you right now that this is a heavy, heavy
really?
Energy.
Really? Oh, gosh. It sure has been for me personally. Yeah.
A personal psychic, a woman I know who is incredible, came into the store today. She'd already emailed me to warn me that this was going to be a heavy week. And she came in today, not knowing anything of what's going on with my mom, my life.
Oh, my God.
And brought me... This is just one. She brought me hematite, obsidian, all of these. She says
are they protective crystals?
Yeah, they're the kind that protect against, you know, negative energy. And like,
wow.
she's such a sweet, sweet woman. I love
her. Does she give readings?
She does. She's incredible.
I would love to get
she's
a
amazing.
Reading.
She's really great. She's such a cool woman. Anyway, it's a really heavy time right now. So
yeah,
if you guys are feeling
so.
It, it's not just you. It's the world. And, you know, you can look at any headline. It seems like you can compare a headline today from a year ago today. And a year ago today, the headline was dire. It's like 10 times worse.
Well, I have to tell you, we mentioned Kurt Vonnegut in our last episode, or one of the last episodes. And Peter came home the other day with a Kurt Vonnegut book. And I asked him after he was reading it. He's a very fast reader and goes through many books a week.
Lucky.
But I know, I'm slow. But he said, it's funny, Jen, it's as topical today as it was when he wrote it back in the 60s.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, what a cool guy.
Really quick, before we get to our topic, which
our theme
this week is dreams, guys. But before we get to it, I need to just say, I watched Carnal Knowledge with Jack Nicholson and Anne Margaret.
Yeah.
That is a...
I've never seen it.
Let's just say it didn't hold up from when I saw it when I was 15. Like, they're horrible men. They, like, treat women horribly. But it's Mike Nichols, and it is a pretty... And of course, Anne Margaret, so beautiful.
Yeah.
Right when I finished that movie, another Anne Margaret movie came up. It was called Following Her Heart. George Segal was in it.
I love him. Segal.
So anything he's in, I'm going to watch
too.
It. But it was one of those formulae, like made for TV, like NBC movies.
Really?
Brenda Vaccaro.
That one?
Yeah.
Yes. The tampon commercial? You know, I met her. Of course
Tell me
I did.
She was nice to you, please.
Super nice.
Okay.
It's when that year that I worked at
in Bel Air.
Yeah, 6 months.
What
it was
an
in Brentwood.
Experience.
And
Brentwood.
She came up and she does have a heavy breath.
She does. All right, guys, we're not going to waste any time. This week is about dreams. Before we go on, I want to, we'll mention it again at the end.
Yeah.
Fabian created an amazing playlist to go along with this episode. It'll be on a separate link in our bio on Instagram. But I've been listening to it.
64 songs, I think, now.
I think it's 4 hours.
I redid it last night.
Oh,
I moved some stuff around. It's in the order that it needs to be listened to.
Wonderful.
I'm that person. I am the person who used to make mixtapes. Absolutely.
But 5,000%. Your knowledge is really incredible, Fabian.
But I do love making mixtapes, and this is my mixtape for the podcast.
I love it.
And it's a good one.
You guys are going to love it.
It's got a little bit of everything. But
songs you know, other songs you've not heard.
No, all songs I know. The key to this, for me, the only way that it's fun for me, I don't want to have to look for something. It has to be music that is in my library.
This is
all music that's in my library. It has to apply somehow to the theme, but it has to be in my library. It can't be something where I'm going to look up and find it. Yeah. So some of them are original. Some of them are covers of songs that we all know and love.
Love a lot of the covers. Yeah. The Dream On.
Isn't that gorgeous? He's amazing. Bootstraps is who he goes by.
Amazing.
His covers are stunning. You guys are in for a treat.
You really are.
Marie Bryant, wait till you hear her voice. And I guarantee... I'm going to say 90% of you don't know who she is, and it's unfortunate because she was an amazing singer, and She was not that well known. Marie Bryant.
Marie Bryant. And I loved Alice Smith. I downloaded her station. Oh, she's fantastic.
So that's not even a great song. I know, she's gotten better. I know. She's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, there's a great station. But guys, again, I cannot say enough how amazing it is. So I think also shout out to Chris Janney for giving us this idea to create playlists to go along. I think that was fantastic.
Chris Janney, you are a genius. It's a great idea.
And a lovely human.
And it was her suggestion to do a musical playlist to go with it.
Yes.
And it's a great, great idea.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's, yeah, exactly. Well, you're up first, Toots.
What? Wait, I've got my gray whales being
And you have to add a little more honey, or you have enough honey in there?
Yeah, I was telling Jen that I've recently come to experience what the Bee's Knees cocktail is, and I highly recommend it. Gin, lemon juice, honey, that's it. And it's delicious. It's such a great combo.
I can't wait to make one.
It's so good.
It's wonderful.
All right. Hopefully everybody dreams, but I do know of a few people who never dream, who say, I don't dream. I think they just don't remember them.
I think they don't remember them.
But I think a human, you're going to tell me about that, I think, in a little bit, why we dream. So in the meantime, I'll tell you something, that the practice of dream interpretation dates back thousands of years, and there's evidence found in the earliest written records and artifacts of ancient civilizations. It goes from Mesopotamia to ancient Egypt, the Bible, ancient Greece, ancient India, and ancient China. Everyone has some reference to dreams and the importance of dreams. The Egyptians, which is one of my favorite, is they placed significance on dreams, viewing them as messages from the gods or from the dead, which to me is, how many people do we know, ourselves included, when a loved one passes away? And we wake up in the middle of the night. They were visiting us. They're here. We have dreams.
Oh my God! When my mother died, I distinctly had a dream.
Yeah.
Where my father told me she was dead. I fell asleep at 6 a.m. I woke up like, oh, because the dream was I was looking at a bookcase, talking to my father, and I looked at the bookcase, and I looked back at my father, and it was my mother, smiling with a bright light. It was unlike any dream.
Right.
And I think that's what everyone always qualifies. Right. It's different from a dream.
I've had that dream with my father also. And it's always lovely and...
You have faith.
Oh, God.
Can you tell me about it?
Oh, my God. It was always him. It was the weird thing. You know, it makes me wonder if I'm psychoanalyzing it in a way to think that it's wish fulfillment and hearing what I wish he had told me. But I don't think that's the case. I mean, I really think it was just letting me know that I'm going to be fine. It was always this comforting. I've had it multiple times. This
really?
Dream. Yeah, and it's always comforting, like you're going to be fine. You're going to be, and I'm just sobbing. I wake up sobbing. It's really beautiful. I love when the dead come to visit. I really do.
Mm.
Anyway, as I was saying, the Bible. The ancient Greeks believed in it. Which I really like, because the you know, the oracles, you think about the oracles in Greece, they also sort of had the dreams as part of their visions of what the future was going to be like. That's why, you know, all these philosophers and whoever was emperors would go to these oracles to get information.
Yes, they relied heavily on them.
You know what's really interesting? And now, because we talk about movies, if you think about it, Minority Report, the film, do you remember, with Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
Tom Cruise, there were three people, they were siblings, a woman and two brothers, that were in a pool, remember? And they were kept in this pool because the water carries the energy, whatever, their whatever, psychic energy, but they were considered oracles, and they dream, and they can foretell the future. They can tell when a crime is about to happen.
Wow.
Isn't that fascinating? Do you remember? You don't remember that.
I confess I've
Samantha
never seen
Morton?
It.
Samantha Morton? I think Samantha Morton was one
I've
of them.
I've never seen it.
Oh, no, that movie.
I'm not a Tom Cruise fan, but you've told me to get over it.
Steven Spielberg directed this film.
Okay.
I think it's 20, maybe more than, no, it's got to be more than 24 years old by now. So many of
I
those
remember
things
when it came
that
out.
Are in this film are absolutely true now. The cars, the way computers work, that are just these giant glass, the way that the identification through eyes.
Yeah.
The way that, in this one, it's really extreme. You walk into a store, you'll see people walking into the Gap, And these holograms come up of the last things they purchased, which is what happens in our phone, really. The last thing they purchased.
Wow.
And then their voices say, you love that. You love that blouse. You should get these pants. Like, all of it. And then, you know, they charge you before you even leave the store. Like, they already know what you're buying. And
wow.
It really holds up.
All right. I'll check it out. I promise. I will check that one out.
It's a great story. It's really good. And it kind of ties into last week's. But anyway, the dreams that these people have that predict the future is really interesting. I'm more interested to hear what you have to say, because I really would like to know, why do we dream? Why do humans dream? Is that obligation, a physical obligation? I want to hear about that.
You know,
that.
In the past I've heard too, before I get into it, you know, it's our brain, our unconscious trying to deal with everything that's happening in our conscious state.
Right.
Human dreams, for a variety of reasons, for a variety of reasons, and while the exact function of dreaming is not fully understood, several theories propose why we experience dreams. One of the leading theories suggests that dreaming is a part of the process by which the brain consolidates learning and memories from the day. Dreams may help to strengthen neural pathways that encode memories, making it easier to recall that information later.
That makes sense.
That makes total sense. There's also something called emotional processing, which dreams might function as a means for the brain to process emotions and experience from the waking life. This theory posits that dreaming allows individuals to work through complex feelings and emotional experiences in a safe, simulated environment, which can be therapeutic and aid in emotional regulation.
That makes sense.
Especially, like, I've had dreams where, especially when you wake up before you're supposed to get up and you fall back asleep and then you have crazy wild dreams.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of times those are very topical. Like something that happened the day before, someone that I was interacting with is often in that late or early morning dream, I should say. Have you had those kind of dreams?
I have. You know what? The thing about waking up sometimes in the middle of a dream where you're just not fully awake.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done that where you fall back to sleep, but you're aware that you're dreaming? And you control the dream. That's lucid dreaming. And that
is... that what that is?
It's the greatest thing, because then you control what's happening. And like you said, it's a safe place and you can do anything. You can just say, oh, what would happen if this happens? Lucid dreaming is great. And I used to really work at it when I was about 22, 23.
I was in my 20s and
yeah,
I had crazy,
I would read
dreams.
Books on it. And, you know, there were exercises that you do. For example, every time you're in your car, and you can do this, anyone can do this now. When you're in your car and you're driving and you see a stop sign, every time you see that stop sign, you say to yourself, I'm going to remember my dreams tonight. I'm really going to remember my dreams tonight and be in it. Every time you see, you have six stops from wherever you are till you get home.
Yeah.
You say that to yourself. That's your reminder. I'm going to remember my dreams tonight. I'm going to remember my dreams tonight. And something happens. You start remembering them better and more.
Wow.
And there's other exercises you do, but I thought that was the easiest one.
That
the one that makes the most
total
sense.
You know, I had a couple of recurring dreams, and I don't know if that's covered in here, but
I'm really fascinated by that.
The one dream wasn't recurring, but it was lucid, and it was one of the ones I've never forgotten. I was in my 20s, and I was in Germany during the war, and all of a sudden I was feet away from the SS and Hitler, and I became so terrified that I just said, no, I need to go back. I can't be here right now. And I just changed inside the dream to like a whole other location, because my fear... I was also a history buff, but that was crazy. Also, do you remember Nancy Walker?
Of course. Are you kidding? You know that Nancy Walker directed the gayest movie ever made.
She did?
With the Village People.
I don't
Nancy know. Walker, we're talking about Rhoda's mother.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
She
Valerie
was on the
Pry?
Bounty commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Nancy Walker was in a repeating nightmare dream that I had as a little girl.
Oh my God.
I'm at the bottom of the stairs in my house, and I look to my left, and my whole family is at the dining room table eating, and she's coming down the stairs with a knife to kill me. Lovely Nancy Walker. Why I chose her, who knows? But I couldn't speak. I couldn't tell them I was in danger, and right when she gets to me, I would wake up. And I had that dream through my childhood.
Wow.
Isn't that odd?
You know, it's not that odd. I mean, it's odd that it's Nancy Walker.
Yes.
I had a recurring dream that as a child, and it was, I'm hanging on we lived in Hollywood, and we live in an apartment building, and we're on the second floor. And I used to dream that I'm holding on to the ledge of the roof, and I'm trying not to let go so I don't fall. And I would wake up with my hands cramping. They just hurt. And to this day, if I see anything, if I see people mountain climbing, like in Mission Impossible.
Right.
You know, that scene in the beginning of the third one or whatever, where he's up on the mountain. My hands hurt so much because the idea of holding on to something and being so afraid of falling was huge. Huge. I had that one. That happened a lot. I would get that in my childhood mostly.
Like, that has to mean something. I think falling means something.
It does. Yeah. It does. But you know, it changed. I stopped having those dreams, and I started having dreams even in adulthood, even in now in my 50s, of if, for example, the window is open, if our window is open when I go to bed, it happens mostly in the summer because it's the only time I have the, if there's a little breeze, I have this same dream happens. It's the most beautiful thing.
Oh my God. I can feel lovely.
It on my hands. I feel the breeze. I feel it on my face. And I am magically on a hillside. It's a green, beautiful hillside, grassy. And I start running. I run. I can feel the wind on my face.
Oh my God. Run. How lovely.
Lean forward. Lean forward like I'm going to fall, but I don't fall. The wind. I start to glide. I start to
oh my gosh, fly. Wow.
And when it's on a hillside, I'm at the top of the hill. When I start gliding, it's like a valley below me. So I'm flying over everything.
Wow.
It is the greatest. I haven't had it in months.
But you had it multiple times.
Oh, yeah. Often, a lot. Sometimes often in 1 week.
That's
the best.
Now that's amazing.
That is the best dream. I highly recommend it. You guys, sleep with your windows open. Yes. Feel that breeze and just tell yourself you're going to fly tonight. It is the best feeling. It's the best.
I love it.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I love that. Good. All right.
We're going to have to talk about Nancy Walker next week. I'm not kidding. We're talking about Nancy Walker. She made a movie with Valerie Perrine and Steve Guttenberg before he was really famous.
Really?
And you know who else is in it? I can't remember. You know, the Wheaties, the trans.
Bruce Jenner.
Bruce Jenner's in it.
I'm sorry, what's their name today? I can't think of it.
I don't remember. But
okay,
they all wear dolphin shorts, short shorts. The Village People are in it, and it's all disco-based. So it is absolutely 100% the gayest movie ever made. And she directed it, which is insane to me.
My mind is blown.
It is. It's insane to me that she was the director.
My friend dated the Indian from...
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You mean the Native American?
Oh my God. I'm so sorry, everybody. The Native American.
But you know, back then he wasn't called Native American.
No.
During the Village People time, he was the Indian.
It was Indian. I'm terrible. I said the other day, I'm talking to my brother. I'm like, so I'm going to sit Indian style. He's like, Jennifer... So I'm working on trying to be caught up in what's...
And then did you correct him and say, no, I meant Eastern Indian because they sit in a very specific way. That's what I would have said.
Good.
Get out of it.
That's good. Dreams can serve as a form of cognitive simulation where the brain rehearses possible future scenarios.
Interesting.
This theory suggests that dreaming is a way to practice responses to potential challenges or opportunities, enhancing problem solving and survival skills in waking life. Another theory is the activation synthesis hypothesis proposes,
that's a lot,
that dreams result from the brain's attempt to make sense of random neural activity that occurs during sleep. According to this view, dreams don't necessarily have a direct purpose, but are a byproduct of the brain's efforts to interpret and synthesize spontaneous activity. Sigmund Freud, the founder of psychoanalysis.
Okay, wait, just going back to this one, the neural activation. When people die, when people are dying and they say that they see the white light, a lot of people say that that is what's happening, that they're not really seeing a white light, that it's this neural, it's not this thing, it's not neural activation, but it's probably something similar to it. It's the idea that the brain is doing what it normally does, it's not real, it's not, which is really interesting.
That
brings up a whole other...
Because people, when they have that experience, they genuinely believe that it is a
and
a
when
real...
they come out of it, they're changed people because of it. So it's
I had an uncle who looked at my aunt. He was clinically dead for a few minutes. He was very sick in the hospital in the Bronx, and he woke up and looked at my aunt and he said, I died. There's nothing.
That is not comforting.
I know.
Fuck that.
I
wow.
Know, I know. So anyway, not to bring it down.
What's his birthday? Do you remember? Jesus. Gosh, what
I don't
is
know.
His
I don't
birthday?
Know what his birthday was. I God. Do not. Sigmund Freud theorized that dreams are a manifestation of our deepest desires and anxieties.
I believe that.
Often
I
related
really do.
To a repressed childhood. Yep. Some research suggests that dreaming may play a role in brain maintenance, such as clearing out unnecessary information and helping the brain's neural networks to stay efficient and flexible. There is evidence to suggest that dreams can foster creativity and problem solving. By thinking in a less logical and more associative manner, dreams might help individuals come up with creative solutions to problems or generate new ideas. Despite these theories, the study of dreams is still evolving, and there may be multiple overlapping reasons why we dream. The function of dreams could encompass aspects of all these theories, contributing to our mental, emotional, and cognitive health. So pretty interesting stuff.
It is. It's did you happen to see the film? Because we're going to be talking about movies that
right,
have dream
right.
in it. Did you happen to see the new one with Adam Sandler, Dream Scenario?
No, I have to watch that. Why haven't we watched that
yet? I don't
yet?
Know, but I'm telling you, it was really a great movie.
Did you like it?
I liked it a lot.
All right, I'm going to check
it
out.
Wait, was it Adam Sandler?
Dream Scenario was Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, Nicolas
okay,
Cage.
Okay, stop
sorry.
Right there. Stop
sorry,
right there.
Sorry, yeah.
You liked it? Okay, I thought you were talking about the other
I love the
Adam Sandler
one. Was fantastic.
Okay.
But Dream Scenario
Dream
with
Scenario
Nicolas
was bullshit.
What are you talking about?
It's
great.
Okay, everybody. A man who appears in... It's actually a statement on...
cancel culture, perhaps.
Cancel culture, stardom.
And
you know,
going viral and becoming
viral,
popular.
That, exactly.
And getting self-esterm from exterior,
correct.
Nothing
yes.
to do with yourself. But
it's a study in that for sure.
It is.
And I guess if I'm looking at it like that, but I just, the trailer, it was supposed to be more comedic. And I think I mentioned to you that
it's comedic. It's just very dark.
It's very dark. But, and you know, he appears in a lot of people's dreams, and then I'm not going to give away. It just goes dark from there. And I was just kind of
the
disappointed.
The premise is genius. Oh,
but
my
when
God,
you,
I
the way
it.
You
he
explain
was so
it,
good.
I will say
he was fantastic. He's not
wonderful.
Great every time, but
he
when
is,
he's good, he is really good.
Yeah.
I think he's really underrated. When he's good, you look at, do we even begin with?
Moonstruck?
What, oh my God.
I mean, come
in
on.
In Moonstruck, he was,
I loved
I would,
him.
I would have sex with him in a second.
I loved him in that
and,
movie.
But also in, my. You know what, I'm two gray whales in, and Wild at Heart, David Lynch's Wild
oh, yes.
at Heart.
Oh yes, wonderful.
He was amazing. He was so all in on that. He was
yeah,
all
yeah.
in. He didn't care if he looked stupid or acted stupid. In fact, during the filming of that and when he was doing all of the interviews when that movie came out, he was so still in character of Sailor. That was his character. You Google it. Just look at on YouTube any of his interviews
yeah.
that he did during that time. He was insane. He was the same character. He would do like... you know, what do you call that when you do the...
Mime?
No, when you do the, you know, the gymnastic thing. He would just come on to,
right.
the, you know, people say, and now my next guest, Nicolas Cage, you need to come out doing these karate kicks
oh,
and
yeah,
just
yeah.
doing these
just...
crazy things and taking off his jacket. And he was just crazy.
Yeah.
Because he's all in. He's like that kind of actor. And you know what's weird is that... He comes from a whole family. He's Francis Ford Coppola's nephew.
I know.
He and he changed his name. He wanted to be his
which
own thing.
Which is so admirable because the
too.
Coppola name could get you really far.
Yeah.
I'll never forget him in Valley Girl. No, I'm kidding. I mean,
I
love that movie.
No, he was great in that movie.
I love that movie. Remember
that
back in the day, that movie was fantastic.
It still holds up. That movie is still good.
That's
it's a
awesome.
Great movie.
I have to check it out
it.
Again.
I
yes.
love that film.
Yes. All right, so now we're going to talk about movies that have to do with dreams.
Well, you know, knowing that we were going to be talking about this, I did start watching Inception again
okay.
a few days ago. That movie is a
Inception.
Mindfuck.
What's Inception again? Oh. Oh my God.
You know, it's the Christopher Nolan. It's the one with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh,
and they
yeah.
go into people's
yeah.
dreams, but
yeah.
they don't go into people's... They go into people's dreams to make a dream, to make a dream a reality. They go in... to plant a seed to change something in real life. It's not the opposite. It's not trying to read somebody's mind.
When I have a bias, I don't like Leo, so I don't watch his movies, but I need to watch it.
It's amazing, but it really is a mind fuck because they go, you don't know if it's his dream. Like they do layers. It is so
beautiful. It's good. And revisiting was good.
Oh, it is an amazing...
Because Christopher Nolan, I mean,
it's
let's
a
face
genius,
it, he's amazing.
Genius movie. Yeah. It is absolutely fantastic. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is a movie that I absolutely love, and it's not really about dreams. It's about memories, but there's an association sometimes in the way that this movie was filmed.
I totally agree with you.
It's dreamlike. It's very dreamlike.
And it's an exceptionally beautiful movie.
It is
like
a
heart-wrenching
movie, too. It is beautiful.
I know.
They are both so good.
They really
That's
are.
Another... Jim Carrey, I think, is so underrated
as a
dramatic actor.
Yes.
He is so amazing. He's good.
He is.
I love that movie.
No,
I thought that
I
was
agree.
Great. There's a lot of really great movies. Of course, a lot of people go to A Nightmare on Elm Street because that is all happening in the dreams.
Yes, and you know, I guess I'm not a horror movie type, but I did watch that when I was younger, and I watched it, and it didn't scar me like The Exorcist, but so it does. It's kind of interesting.
It was mind blowing when I saw that movie. You know, when I was younger, it was just sort of, you know, insane.
What Dreams May Come
do you remember
is on that,
that
list, and
that Robin Williams movie.
It's such, and it's you know, he dies and is in heaven, but then his wife kills herself and goes to hell, and he tries to rescue her from hell, I believe is the premise.
The thing that really stuck with me was just, I think it was one of the first movies that was using the computer graphics to make
stunningly beautiful.
And that's a movie to see if it still holds up.
Yeah.
Because with all the technology we have now, would it still stand?
Exactly.
Would it still be?
Exactly.
You know, I don't know. There's so many movies. There's so many movies that. That we could... Pan's Labyrinth. Remember what an amazing movie that was? Coraline.
Pan's Labyrinth, yes.
Brazil. Please tell me you've seen Brazil.
Brazil,
Terry Gilliam. Robert De Niro has a little...
Oh, I looked at this trailer for that, just so that I would have an idea.
That movie
looked
amazing.
Nuts, but fun. De Niro looks really funny in it.
He's barely in it, but it's amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know...
Well, let's talk about Spellbound.
Spellbound,
because
for sure.
That is one of my favorite... Ingrid Bergman films
and that
and
scene,
Gregory Peck.
The scene with the dream scene with the eyes, that was all Salvador Dali. Salvador Dali did that entire scene for the movie where he starts to go back into his dream and you see those eyes. There's eyes everywhere. That was all him.
Wow.
And Salvador Dali, of course, in art, uses a whole thing of dreams with the melting clocks and the melting...
Yes, absolutely.
You know, yeah, for sure. So
that's amazing.
But,
that
you know, we're not talking about the one that is the... I think... the greatest thing about dreams, which would be The Wizard of Oz. Come on. I mean,
the way that it went to color in her dream. And
that she was dreaming.
I know.
That at the end,
it was
supposedly
dream.
She's dreaming. Supposedly.
But just, and then when she's back on the farm, though, you see who the cowardly lion was. And,
exactly.
Yeah. No, that's... it's
a
classic
one.
That stands the test of time.
It does.
Mulholland Drive. We mentioned this in a previous podcast. The end of that movie, I was frustrated.
That,
but
yeah, that
the movie itself is good.
I love David Lynch.
I love David Lynch too.
Much. Again, going back to Nicolas Cage, Wild at Heart was a very different movie, kind of. For it wasn't one that he wrote. That was based on a book, the Wild at Heart, the two characters and everything. But he took it to such a dark place. I don't know if you remember. It was a dark movie toward the end.
I don't remember. It's
Willem
been
Dafoe.
So long.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Willem Dafoe and Laura Dern.
I love them.
In a scene where Laura Dern is in her room. They're in Texas or something, somewhere in a motel. And there's a knock on the door. She had just thrown up. There's very David Lynchian. It's literally a shot of disgusting carpet with vomit and flies flying on it. She goes to open the door. Someone's at the door, and it's Willem Dafoe, and he just lets himself in. It is the most... I don't know how to explain it. It is terrifying, sexy.
Wow.
He is coming onto her, just... He realizes that she's pregnant, tells her that she's pregnant, seduces her, is about to really seduce her, and she's all in at that point. She first fights it, and then all of a sudden she's all in, and then it's, he's like, ah, I'm just kidding. It's just this, oh, he is the most horrible, wow, horrible human being with these teeth. My brother and I.
I need to go
and my brother and I watch this movie a lot, and we would, wow, his name was Bobby Peru. That was his character's name. And my brother and I would eat bit of honeys.
Yeah.
And we'd put them in our teeth. We'd chew them and get them and put them in our teeth, and we'd go, we'd say, oh, it's what he says. What does he say to her? You want me to fuck you, don't you? You want me? Like, he was
vulgar and
and horrible and weirdly attractive.
Yeah, yeah, no. Willem Dafoe is all of those things.
I love Willem Dafoe. I do too. And we do know something else that we just learned recently about Willem Dafoe.
Well, he's hung like a bull elephant, folks, in case you forgot last episode. Yes. Coraline, one of my favorite books and movies. I'm a huge Neil Gaiman fan. And I love that movie. That was absolutely a really great movie.
I remember buying that on DVD with the 3D glasses. You can get it in DVD. I never watched it on DVD. It's so stupid.
Total Recall.
What a movie. I love that movie. That is my favorite. I think I might like that movie. Can I say that I like it more than Terminator?
Terminator's pretty. It's pretty That's amazing. My favorite.
And that was really out of its time in a way.
Speaking of sexy scenes from Unexpected Men, remember that scene when Jamie Lee Curtis is dancing for him and him just sitting
True Lies in True
and
Lies
just watching her. This was a sexy scene.
It was fantastic. Yes. She was amazing in it. Do you remember she takes the water from a vase in the hotel lobby and wets her hair back, walks into the room wearing that little dress that she made small. I think she tore it.
Oh, yes, she did.
And
in the hallway,
she's
and
doing
she
that dance on the bedpost and then falls, which is really cute. So, so adorable.
So adorable and sexy, though. Watching her, it was very sexy.
Schwarzenegger was great in that movie.
He was great
really
in that
was.
Movie.
He
really
was. Great.
Was.
Total Recall, I really like that movie a lot. Sharon Stone. That movie made Sharon Stone. That was Sharon Stone's.
Oh yeah, that's yes.
She had she was the bad guy in it.
Right.
And she was amazing. And that's the movie that made her. This is before Basic Instinct. This led to Basic Instinct.
Right. Right.
And it she deserved it. She was so good in this. She was such a bitch.
I like her. I really do. Big
fan. I do too.
Pan's Labyrinth, though, but yeah, Guillermo del Toro, I didn't realize that he was the director of that movie.
What?
I didn't realize that.
Oh, my God.
But my God, yeah, I mean.
No, I mean, oh, my God, I have to leave now.
Well, you know what's really sad about some of these themed shows? I find out that I'm not nearly the expert in movies that I thought I was.
Yeah, but you know what? I think there's, you can talk about Spellbound and give me details that I will not remember or movies that I have never seen.
That's
a
true.
Lot.
That's true.
I think we balance each other. Yeah. You and I make one whole human.
That's right. Yeah. Together, we can conquer the world.
We can.
Well, now, we forgot to mention this movie in our sci-fi episode, The Matrix. Now, I feel like that. I'll never forget. I was visiting Peter when we were just shtuppin', and I was out in San Fran.
Before you knew you were in love?
We knew we were in love the minute we saw it.
Okay, good.
Really corny. Sorry.
Okay.
Anyway, but I was out in San Fran, and he showed me The Matrix. And I was
at the movies, obviously.
He had a big TV, and it wasn't in the movies anymore.
No.
But no, then we went to see the second one shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
But he showed it to me, and
I want to be Trinity.
Be with her.
No,
but
I want to be Trinity.
I wanted to be her and her
too.
Black boots and her
me too.
Every single thing about her.
Listen,
I loved.
The opening, you know, they're doing a new Matrix. It just got announced yesterday.
Is Keanu and
they have not mentioned if any of the characters will be in. It's a whole new reboot of it.
All right. I'll be open.
But I'm telling you, the opening scene of the first Matrix is all Trinity. That opening scene, the black glasses, the short hair,
all of it,
the spandexy outfit.
Mm-hmm.
But then after she does that run around the wall, kills the cops that are after her and starts running up the stairs, being chased by the Smiths guys, and jumping rooftops. Remember?
Yes,
she's jumping rooftops.
It.
And they're coming after her and they're finally there. They start shooting and she's running at full speed. Jumps off the ledge of a building to a window, a lit up window, small window. She sees across the alley and does this dive through the window. I imitate it all the time and I wish you could see me. She rolls, she comes through the window, rolls down the stairs, hits the stairs, turns around, and both guns aimed at the window.
Perfectly.
She was, to me, she was the best part of the movie.
I have to agree.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm a huge character. Keanu fan, but she was my favorite part of that movie.
Me too, for
sure. In every one of the movies.
Me too. She is the only reason I would watch these movies now. I love her.
Couldn't agree more. Eyes Wide Shut. Now, there's a movie that I remember watching.
I want to see that again, actually.
Yeah. I would be curious if that holds up. I remember, obviously, it's such a unique movie. It's so bizarre.
Well, I want to see it again. It's been getting a lot of press lately.
Has it?
Yeah, it's Stanley Kubrick's last film.
Right.
And it's getting a lot of press, and I think it's one of those, I mean, the people who loved it really loved it. It got panned a lot, but the people who loved it and the critics who loved it really loved it, and I think people are looking at it now with new eyes, and it's getting a different kind of recognition.
It did get panned, and I was kind of reading about it before because I wanted to remind myself, and that whole, like, the whole sex theme with the masks and the password, and like, that is interesting in and of itself, I guess.
I think that it got overshadowed by the fact that it was husband and wife in the movie, that it was Nicole Kidman and it was Tom Cruise, and there was just something, I think that people were looking at it from that, and I think it's enough time has passed that we can see past that.
Because they haven't been together, exactly. And I think this is in the list because doesn't she have a dream and she tells him that she was with someone, I think, in the dream, and that pisses him off, which sets him on this journey of, he goes back to kind of have sex with that prostitute. Yeah. And anyway, it's good. I might revisit it.
I hope people do watch Dream Scenario, by the way, just before we finish with that.
Yeah.
With Nicolas Cage. It's a great film. And it is a great statement of the times that we are living in and the way that we find any kind of
success measured
just
in
think of
viral
it when you're watching
fame.
The movie, think about how we are with Instagram or with likes,
right,
and needing to be liked, and
right,
how we are getting any kind of
You know what's kind of, I feel lucky, Fabe, is that I came to social media later than some, and I never really care about my number of likes or who's, I have a very short list of friends, but I think for the younger crew in the world,
it's huge.
It's very important for them,
for their work.
And it's sad. What's Sucker Punch? A girl in an asylum who retreats into
Sucker
an alternate...
Sucker Punch, Zack Snyder, who did,
I know him.
Justice League and all of those big movies. He did 300. 300,
yes,
the big
I remember that.
Well, his wife produced this one, and this is more female-based. And I think, is it Charlize Theron that's in it? No.
Who is in it? I'm curious. Do you know?
It's a funky movie. It didn't do that well, but it is also a girl who's in a horrible state. She's in a place where they're, if I recall correctly, they're almost sex trafficked in a way.
Hmm.
And so she goes into a dream state where she is powerful and she is a samurai warrior. She's amazing and kicks ass.
Well, there were Emily Browning, Jenna Malone, Abby Cornish, Vanessa Hudgens.
It's Abby Cornish. I think Abby Cornish and Charlize Theron are so, so similar looking.
Yeah,
I really
they are.
Get them confused.
Of course, I'm a big Oscar Isaac fan.
I didn't know he was in this.
He is.
Wow.
He's in it.
That must be one of his first films.
Yeah.
I just watched, because of our last talk, Deus Ex Machina with him.
Robot. Oh, yeah, because we had talked about that.
Such an amazing movie.
Really?
That one still,
big fan of his,
still holds up.
Did you see the movie with him and the cat and he had to go on the road?
Is that the one where he played Bob Dylan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a very good movie. That has nothing to do with dreams, so we'll move on. These films utilize the concept of dreams to explore complex themes such as identity, desire, freedom, and reality. And they offer viewers a multi-layered cinematic experience. And I guess that's true for most of the ones that we just discussed.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we're at the portion of the show where we give our pockets of wisdom out. Please write in and let me and Fabe give you our advice on anything under the sun. Our email is pocketspod, P-O-C-K-E-T-S, pod, at gmail.com. And right into the show. We would love to give you some advice. I'm up first. And this one is, Dear Agony Auntie and Uncle, I'm so upset. I've been married to my wife for 7 years. I have loved our life and thought we were both fulfilled and happy. Lately, she's been a little distant, but I assumed that work or family issues with her big extended family were stressing her out. Last night, she dropped a bombshell. She asked me how I would feel about opening up our marriage. I've heard about open marriages, of course, but what does that even mean? I was too shocked to say much, and she asked me to think about it. After a sleepless night, I wonder how I'm supposed to think about anything else. How am I supposed to respond? Devastated husband. It's tricky because, you know, a lot of times it's a man asking for more of an open marriage, and maybe I'm being biased. I feel like, is she asking for an open marriage because she's met someone and wants to explore it and wants him involved so it's not cheating?
There's so many different things that this can be. It can be that she's bored and or her husband doesn't fulfill her and she doesn't know how to tell him. Mm-hmm. And this is one way of doing it, maybe.
True.
And just to say, you know, I want to, you know, to me, I wouldn't take it as, oh, she just wants to have sex with someone else. She just wants someone else and it's not me.
Right.
That's how I would interpret that. You know, I just think that, I don't know. I do have friends who have, they are in a marriage that is theirs. They and have is it, open is relationships it, and they're super happy and they're totally fine and they're totally great.
I was under the impression that sometimes it gets complicated.
I can't imagine not getting complicated. It's hard enough with one person.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about three ways. I'm just talking about having to deal with another person's needs and desires and what your needs are for that.
And I'll be honest, I'm not going to lie. My ego couldn't handle it. I would have an open, especially if now, like, we're going to be married. God, what is it? 19 years next week.
That's it?
That's it. Well, we know each other 25, so that's not too bad. That's it. I know. As, of all of our friends, we are like, you guys don't know each other at all.
You're like the newlyweds.
But I think it would blow my head off. It would just blow my socks off if he came to me.
You know what,
speaking
of dreams and Freud, that could be a little Freudian slip there. I hope he never does, because I know what I'm going to find when I come over here on a Thursday to do this. This big bloody mess.
Oh no.
Don't do it. Please cover up with plastic so I don't have to clean it.
I will. All right, but regarding devastated husband, I would be kind of upset too, coming out of the blue, assuming that you're living a fulfilled and happy marriage. Especially sounds like, I think that there's a personality type that is fine with open relationships, like the friends that you mentioned. They both want it, they both want to explore it. If somebody doesn't have that natural inclination, I think it would be difficult.
I just think that it's one thing if it was they'd been married a year or two, they'd been married 7 years.
Yeah.
And that there was no indication that this was something she would be into, that mm-hmm. she'd never... I would, before I, you know, the whole idea of think about it, to me, when somebody says think about it, it means I'm going to do what I want. I'm letting you think about it, but I'm going to do whatever I want anyway.
Right.
I would say, what's leading to this? And I would say, let's go talk to someone. For sure. Let's go talk to somebody and figure this out. And go there knowing that there's a possibility that it may be the end of your relationship. Right. That's really what it's about. And this is just a way for her to, maybe she can't be that direct. She doesn't want to hurt your feelings or something. It could be something like that. It could be just as easy that she adores you and she wants to try other things, you know, be a little... I would, before allowing that, not even allowing, you don't have to allow it, she's going to do what she wants, but before agreeing to anything like that, I would ask her what it is that she thinks she can get from that and try doing that for her.
Right.
If there's something that she's missing, that she needs some kind of scenario, kind of something, can I do that? Can I fulfill that for you somehow? Right. What are you not getting? That's what I would do.
That's part of the fun of marriage, is to kind of do fun things and... You know, I mean, I won't get into it too deeply. Peter would be very upset.
But, I agree.
Scenarios, as you put it.
Of course.
I think that is actually really good advice, babe. Go speak to somebody that might be able to help you both process and talk through it.
Yeah.
And listen, let's say at the end of the day you find out that she does want something different. It's good that it happened within 7 years and not 70 years. and you have an opportunity to go and, you know.
But, you know, also go into it knowing that it might be something. So say you do go talk to somebody and you do find out what she wants and it's something that you can't give to her and that she needs or whatever, and she goes to and finds. It doesn't necessarily mean that she's done with her marriage. It just means that she will be able to get something that he can't give her, or or something that she just feels she needs.
Right.
Regardless, even if he can give it to her, she just has this desire.
Yeah.
And it may not be it may not be a threat to their marriage at all.
Oh, that's a good point too. Yeah.
It could be something that may enhance their marriage or help their marriage, but that's a scary, scary.
It really is. That would be hard. It would really be hard for me anyway.
Yeah.
All right. What's your letter, love?
All right, I got this one. Listen to this, guys. My longtime friend seems to be outspoken when I'm around her lately. I have a nervous habit of biting my nails, and when my friend is at my house, she yells at me to stop doing that, saying it's disgusting.
Mm.
It made me angry and hurt to be yelled in my own house, but I only replied, "It's just a nervous habit." Aside from that, she has made remarks that I never offer her wine. And after I made her coffee, she remarked that there was so little in the cup, which was 8 ounces.
Oh, my God.
How do I respond to her outspokenness? Signed, Nervous Habit.
How about go to hell? Oh, my God. Here's your hat. What's your hurry? Get the hell out of my house?
You see, there's something deeper going on here with these two people. There's something deeper. This person is
nitpicking.
It's something else that she's asking for, that she's demanding from her friend. It has nothing to do with the coffee. This is someone who's obviously not satisfied with anything, always dissatisfied. That could just be a personality trait. It doesn't sound like it from the way that this is written, but
I just think saying remarks like that, even to a friend, it's very rude.
When she's criticizing her, the way that she's criticizing her, one, it's that she's her enough, and two, that she's doing something that she's trying to shame her for, biting her nails,
which
she's
is a nervous habit her. As it is,
and she's trying to shame her or make her feel bad about it. This is someone who is incredibly insecure. That's the first thing that I would think. This is someone who's super, super insecure. And you know how some insecure people like to put people down in order to make themselves feel a little bit better. I just can imagine what she, when she's not with her friend and she's with a different friend, saying, "Oh, you know, she never serves me coffee," and she never, like, she's that type of person who would be saying that about all of her friends, have something to say negative about all her friends because of her insecurity, because of whatever.
I think you're right. I guess people that act like that, it is an insecurity.
Absolutely.
I never looked at it like, I'm always aggressive, you know, in my response to that. But to be kind, you know,
there's something else going
on underneath
there.
It.
Yeah, there's something going on. But what do you do? Do you just say,
what do you think she should
do here? Wait, I didn't give you enough coffee. Is that, if I give you more coffee, are you going to let up? Are you going to, what?
Yeah, I would be that open about it.
I would just say, what is this really about? I mean, the coffee pot is right there. You can serve yourself as much as you want. Anything you want in my house, you can have.
Right.
What's going on? I would just
And
put
what
that
is my nail biting to you?
Like, yeah.
You know?
Why are you criticizing me? I feel like you're criticizing me. And then that could lead to a whole other can of worms, because is that how you say it?
Can of worms. That could open up another can of worms.
Look at me. It could, because then she might say, "Well, you know what else you do? I don't like the way you wear your socks, or I don't like the way how you tie your shoes."
And that's when you just say, "We shouldn't be friends anymore."
Then there's something else going on there, for sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because your friends should bolster you; they should hold you up and be kind to you.
Yeah, I would definitely tell this person to just ask the next time that their friend criticizes them for something, just say, "Okay, wait a minute. That's number two. You just criticized me about this. What's going on?
Are you mad at me? Yeah.
I would say, are you mad at me?
Right.
What's going on?
What's happening?"
And then also take that with a grain of salt, because if they say, "Yeah, actually, I am mad at you," who knows? If they're already playing all these games, they're being so passive aggressive.
I know.
Then, you know, just listen to them and take it in, and then process it when they're gone. But I would ask, what's going on?
You're
do you have something?
So much nicer than I am. I literally am wanting to tell her to just say goodbye.
My first reaction would be to say,
get the hell out of my house.
This is my house, and there's more coffee.
Yeah.
There's not a shortage. I can get you more.
Right.
What's going on? I just think that there's got to be something else going on.
Yep.
You know, no. I don't know. I would like to think that I have I have it in me to keep my control enough to ask.
I think that's wonderful. I really do. Well, guys, we're finishing a little early, earlier than normal, but just a reminder to follow us on Instagram at pockets_podcast. Also, please like our page and rate and review the show so that it would help build our audience. Finally,
don't forget the playlist.
The playlist.
The music playlist, which the link is going to be on Instagram.
The link is
going
to be on the Instagram bio and attached to Facebook.
Yeah, don't miss it. It's a good one, you guys.
It's really incredible. Fabian, I'm so impressed.
I love
it. I listened to it all day.
I was listening
to it all day, too. Yeah. And Peter, the Neil Young song, he's like, oh, how can I never have heard this song?
What?
And he's a huge Neil Young fan.
It's a good one.
It's really good. Yeah. So he is loving it as well when he walks
in. And there's a great Neil,
great music.
Jenny Lewis does an amazing Neil Young cover on there. So that's another thing to look forward to. It's
truly, guys, you won't be sorry. It's on Spotify. The link will be available. And there'll be a separate link, of course, for the podcast itself. Sorry, we weren't able to connect the playlist within the Pockets podcast.
Yeah, it was
maybe down
tricky.
The road. Yeah, we can figure it out.
The Matrix.
Bear with us as we're the little train that, we're the little podcast that could.
And, I wanted to say a hi and a thank you to Chris Campos, who came into the store with his husband the other day and has listened to every one of our podcasts. And Chris, I'm embarrassed because every time I would suggest something or say something, you would finish the sentence because you knew everything I had to say because you'd already heard everything. And I just want you to know that it really, really meant a lot to me. It really showed me that somebody's really listening, and it was really sweet and really kind.
Really, my friend Becky and Dave from Out East, I was so moved when they wrote me and told me how much they're loving it. Did he like the show?
My cousin in Las Vegas. I do have a cousin in Las Vegas. She's not listening. My cousin in Argentina. I mean, it's just a really great.
Yeah, and that one person in Germany that we don't know that showed up in the analytics. Hello to you.
Dankeschön. And und Gesundheit. I mean it from my heart. Thank you.
Oh, my God. Well, guys, thank you for joining us and listening to our thoughts on dreams. And I like the theme show sometimes intermittent with other episodes. I like it very much.
Yeah, me too.
All right.
Crazy, crazy time.
Yeah, just dig deep, hang in. No, nothing is permanent.
Yeah.
And brighter days are ahead.
This will pass.
Yes.
This will pass.
All right. Yeah. Take care, guys.
Right.